Let's see. We have present Treasurer Trish King, Councilman David Jordan, Councilman Kirby Metoxin, Councilman Daniel Guzman King, and Councilman Ernie Stevens III. Lisa Summers is she out on? She's at. Okay, she's at the judiciary. Jenny Webster is on a scheduled vacation, and DeHase Hill is at a consultation in Red Cliff. Okay. All right. Opening. I guess I'll say a few words. Sunkwe Disu, pray that you watch over our families, watch over our nation, give us a clear mind, and remind us of our responsibilities. Watch over our people that are struggling, in need of assistance and better health. Grandfather, pray that you watch over our children and our elders. And I will pray that you watch over our families up here in our minds, that so we can make the best decisions for our nation moving forward, and that we can bring us all together as one nation. And I pray that you watch over others outside our nation and our other communities, and so that they understand what the tribe is doing as well, and so we can work together as a community. You want to go?
Yeah.
Okay. We have an agenda here before you. Is there any additions, deletions, or corrections that we need? If not, looking for a motion to adopt the agenda as is.
So moved.
Second.
A motion by David, seconded by Daniel. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Before you, you have the minutes of June 27th. If you please review those if you have any changes or corrections to those minutes. Otherwise, looking to approve the June 27th regular meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, we have the minutes of June 29th, emergency meeting minutes. You guys don't have any corrections or adjustments to those minutes? Looking for a motion to approve the June 29th emergency meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second.
All right, motion has been made and seconded. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. We have a resolution entitled Capital Contributions to United Airport Hotel Corporation of $750,000 to improve parking lots and lighting from the hotel tax fund. Sponsor Trish King. Okay. This is on page 24. Okay. Trish, you want to give us a rundown?
Yes. The Airport Hotel Corporation had requested an additional $750,000 for repaving their parking lots and the LED lighting on the lots and the sidewalks and other outdoor improvements and upgrades. They sent in a budget for that amount, the items that they need. I further identified with the CFO and the chief counsel on whether or not the funds that we earn from the room tax revenues would be appropriate to use for this, seeing as that's outside contribution funding, and got both CFO and the chief counsel deemed the $750,000 appropriate and consistent with the intended use of those tax dollars. So I'm requesting that on behalf of the Airport Hotel Corporation that we approve their request for this $750,000 to come from the room tax revenues.
Okay, and I guess just the background that the tax revenue is generated by the Radisson's extra room tax that's applied through all hotels in the area, including the tribe, and so we collect those taxes. We don't have to do anything with them to give them back, and so from my understanding, that's what the fund was created, and so this, I do agree that it would be appropriate funds to allow capital expenditures for an entity that's generating that revenue. So, Kirby?
Just one more add-on. The room tax comes from people from outside our community that pay the tax at the hotel, so it's not coming from revenue from the tribe.
Okay. Any more discussion? And Bonnie?
Thank you. I was looking at this resolution. The title, the statement of effect and summary, states the funding request is for parking lots and lighting. Yet on the BC agenda request under number 6 cover memo section, a third item of outdoor improvements and upgrades lists the number 3 item, which is not identified in the resolution or statement of effect. BC Resolution 52814A, Clean Air Policy Amendment, specifically section 41B1 states no person may smoke in any building owned or operated by the tribe within 30 feet of any building owned or operated by the tribe. Receptacles for disposing of smoking materials shall be maintained at least 30 feet from the main entrances of the building. A person may smoke within 30 feet of the Oneida one-stop outlets or any gaming establishments. Receptacles for disposing of smoking materials may be maintained within 30 feet of the entrances of these buildings. I'm not sure, but I could request the vagueness of gaming establishments in that particular resolution. The GTC meetings are not held within the gaming facilities or related offices, but rather within the Radisson facilities, which are only joined to the gaming facilities. It might seem we're splitting hairs, but a lot of times specifics matter. The materials provided do not reflect the exact area that the slab and fencing identified are to be installed. I can only assume it would be in the same location as was previously allowed for GTC smokers to gather. I do not have knowledge of the rationale for discontinuing the smoking area, but as a GTC participant, I know there were complaints of smelling smoke even when the doors were closed or exposure to secondhand smoke, as well as the concerns that GT participants who want to smoke were just hanging out there and not being required to be in the meeting and bringing up questions as to if they should receive the stipend as they spent most of their time, if not the entire meeting, just smoking. The statement of effect does not identify or suggest changes to the GTC meeting stipend payment policy should this resolution be approved. There should be amendments to the policy to address if members register and then sit the whole meeting in the smoking section with the cost to include cost to build a smoking area under the demise that it's for GTC meetings. That's what's on the agenda. Lastly, in the fourth, whereas in the resolution refers to room tax revenues, that the costs requested for item 3 do not promote tourism. GTC are not tourists when registered as qualified rollers at duly called GTC meetings. Thank you.
Bonnie, can you stay up, please? So you're questioning the expansion, but the building of an area for GTC smoking by the Radisson, and so that's what I'm hearing. I've heard that from someone else
for the purposes of GTC meetings.
For the purpose of GTC meetings, and so
and that's not a tourism. And does so, not promote tourism as specified in number 4, whereas of the resolution.
Yeah. So RC is the one that picked it up from my side, and she said, "Why are you guys doing that? And so why are you guys building a smoking section for the area for GTC?" And so so I looked at it and I was like, yeah, I don't really agree with that. And so it's also a business decision, but it's a GTC kind of tailored decision. And so I guess that's where my only confusion was, is about that specific portion only, when we specifically say we're going to take out the smoking section altogether. Joanne?
A couple of things. One, good catch. something. I don't, it never occurred to me reading through the materials that this is a disconnect between the Radisson and the business committee's actions. I'm not entirely certain that the new board was fully informed that the smoking session section is no longer being allowed by the business committee for the very reasons raised just recently. The concerns that people were not in the meeting, that they were spending the entire meeting in the smoking session, and quite frankly, because there were allegations that people were climbing the fence and leaving, then climbing the fence and coming back near the end of the meeting after a phone call. So the smoking session was shut down. I think it's something that the business committee at this point can simply ask the liaisons to bring back to the board and indicate that that particular improvement is not required because we don't authorize smoking or a smoking section during general tribal council meetings.
Daniel.
Thank you, Bonnie, for bringing that up. I seen that on there myself and questioned it, but I guess I needed to take it a little further, and thank you for the clarification also, Joanne. But, yeah, that's something that Kirby and I can take to the hotel board and ask them to take that item off of their list of improvements, and they can utilize the money much better elsewhere. And
Trish?
Just quickly looking over the resolution, even if we take that portion out, I think it was an oversight by all of us. Didn't really think about it. But the I don't know what that dollar amount is, and the resolution specifically states $750,000. So do you want me to get that adjusted, or do you want me to amend the resolution to state up to $750,000?
That would be the easiest way to fix this issue.
So that the Oneida Business Committee authorizes the allocation of up to $750,000 for the hotel tax fund. That's how the resolution can be amended. Mm-hmm. And to, for the record, note that item number
F
should be deleted from the proposed request.
Okay, is that clear enough?
I think it would be because the proposal sent to us isn't in the packet that I've seen. It was in a prior packet.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think adopting the resolution with the amendment, and then a for the record statement that directs the business committee does not wish to fund or have funded that smoking area improvement and requests the liaisons to bring that back to the board so they can modify those particular sets of improvements.
So would that last part be a request that the board? I don't want to.
Yes.
Proper
the
language.
Liaisons would yeah. make that request to the board.
Okay. Okay, so you guys understand that? So I would think it would be to adopt the resolution entitled Capital Contribution to OAHE of $750,000 from the Hotel Tax Fund in the line 33, adjust that the United Business Committee authorizes the allocation up to $750,000.
Or not to exceed, either way.
I didn't catch that.
Up to.
Up to or not to exceed, either way. Up to is better.
What's the standard? Yeah, whatever the standard. Is it up to or not to exceed?
Whichever. Do you have a preference, Larry?
Latter is fine.
Not to exceed, please.
Okay, not to exceed. Okay, so you guys okay with that amendment? Okay.
Yes.
All right, that's your motion?
Yes.
Okay, motion by Trish.
I would second that with a comment, too, and then just to, I guess to a reminder for myself and Kirby, too, to not to get into the habit of telling the board, hotel board, corporation what to do and allow them to make their business decisions. But we have a good, positive working relationship with them so we can have those easy conversations. So.
Okay.
You can take that resolution to them and they can help that discussion.
All right. The motion was made and seconded. Ernie?
I'll just say lastly, and to what Daniel said too, for the liaisons, so just kind of, I think they would appreciate empowering them to make those decisions. I'm surprised this is honestly in there. I think it probably came from somewhere else. Maybe it came from one of us. I'm not sure. But I feel strongly that they make those sound business decisions and probably would agree 100% with making this change. So, but just having that conversation when you know, is there anything else that you guys are concerned about? Just a suggestion for the liaisons.
Okay. Motion has been made and seconded. Any more discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. And my for the record statement is that the we would like the liaisons to go back to the Oneida Airport Hotel Corporation Board and request them to not consider item F, which is the concrete slab for the smoking section and for the GTC meetings. Okay, that matter is complete. We have the CDPC meeting minutes. Do you have any adjustments on the minutes? We're looking for a motion to accept the May 3rd Community Development Planning Committee meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. 7B, approve July 2nd Finance Committee meeting minutes. If you guys don't have any corrections or adjustments to the meeting minutes, looking for a motion to approve the July 2nd Finance Committee meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Tabled business. Oneida Nation School Board SOP entitled Oneida Nation School System Employee Indirect Compensation Trade Back for Cash. Is there a motion to take from the table? First call. Second call. Third call. All right, that item will remain on the table. New business. Increase corporate card credit card limit. That is on page 40. Starts on 41. Trish?
The secretary and I had discussed this when we had found out that the travel person who handles all the travel was going to retire. There was a transition period that we weren't being communicated to about, and so we were concerned that the committee wouldn't have enough funds on their credit card to make all of the travel arrangements for their travel. They would, because it's only set at $2,000. However, yesterday I received a call from the individual who is taking the place of the retiree, and she sent in an email basically stating that they've had a corporate card. There is no change in the process. There's the accounting division or travel agent in accounting division will be handling all of the flights, registrations in hotels using their corporate card, and then ours can stay at the $2,000. So we really don't need to do this.
Okay. So they would handle all the flights. I know that there shouldn't be any occasion that any hotel stay is going to be over $2,000. I think that's the only thing where you actually need to check in anymore. But so if that's okay, it's the reconciliation. I think that's when the travelers that travel a little more often, the reconciliation of if you only have a $2,000 limit, you have three back-to-back travels for a consultation in D.C., travel down to Region 5 EAP conference, and that all adds up, and the reconciliation is the part that really would back up a 2,000. It's a pretty low limit.
Yeah.
But if it's all good, it's, then
yeah, it's standard. It's not going to change.
Okay.
Actually, so at the time we heard about it, though, there was no plan, so we were concerned that we would be running out of funds somewhere in the middle of travel someplace, and didn't want to get in that quandary. So, they assured me that there is a corporate card for that.
Okay, so we just X this out? Do we?
We can actually, I would suggest just deleting it from the agenda.
Okay. David?
I was going to make a motion just to deny the request at this time.
Oh, could do that, too.
Okay.
As it's not necessary any longer.
Second.
Okay. Motion is to deny the request at this time. And then seconded.
Second.
Ernie seconded. So we got, a narrative from the treasurer saying that this is not needed, that the corporate card is still intact, that there are no increases needed on the business committee's corporate cards, and we should be fine. So the motion has been made and seconded. Any more discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. New business B, approve three representatives of the United Nations for the Region 5 Tribal Opioid Strategic Planning Conference. This is sponsored by Councilman Guzman King.
We received some information from SAMHSA through Priscilla Belial, who's heading up our TAP program here in Oneida, and they're having a regional opioid strategic planning conference, and they're sponsoring up to three individuals from each tribe to come, and so that's paid for through SAMHSA, and so it's essentially a free conference to go to, and it's something that we've been diligent working on through the tribe in the last year, and Priscilla and Ludgie Hill, police officer Ludgie Hill, has been working very diligently on a daily basis and organizing our tribal action plan and making a lot of headway on it. They've actually been invited to speak at other tribal conferences regarding our own tribal action plan here. So this is a great opportunity to gather with the other tribes in the region who have the same situation and even worse in some places than us. There's a lot of deaths that have occurred in other tribal nations, and so we all need to work together. All the tribes need to work together to come up with a regional plan and how we can address the epidemic.
Okay, Trish?
Mr. Chair, I'd motion to approve Councilman Daniel Guzman, Ludgie Hill, and Priscilla Desart to represent the Oneida Nation at the Region 5 Tribal Opioid Strategic Planning Conference, provided the other two, Ludgie and Priscilla, are authorized by their supervisors.
Second.
Follow-up comment. Let's
second.
Well,
except I'll notice the motion has been made and seconded, and ask for a discussion.
Okay.
Daniel?
Also, too, they said they'll sponsor, SAMHSA will sponsor up to three, but more individuals can attend. It's just they won't be covered by SAMHSA. So if there's other council persons or other representatives in the organization that should go, that's not a problem.
Okay. Any more discussion in the committee? Hey, Ed, all right, you have 5 minutes.
After the GTC meeting last month regarding the treatment center proposed by Yvonne, there was a lot of negative things about what she said and what was transpired at that meeting. And negativity is okay, but truth isn't really okay. And a lot of people are under the perception that if you take methadone as a treatment option, that you walk around, from then on you're going to be a zombie. Or you can't treat opioids with opioids because methadone is an opioid. But we're talking about people living or dying. And it's not methadone that's killing these people on these reservations. It's heroin and derivatives from that. So I hope whoever goes listens with an open mind, because what I hear a lot is that we can treat our people with social and psychological and cultural ways. But that is a treatment option. But it is a treatment option that is highly, highly not working. It doesn't work without the medicine, because our body, it becomes a physical thing. It is no longer a mental thing. You're not weak because you recidify. You're not weak. You're not sinful. You're not this. It's a drug that grabs a hold of you. And I just hope that everyone listens with an open mind and realizing what the main goal is to save the lives of these young people mostly. And we're all different, like I said. And I hope that everyone listens and brings back a report that is well-rounded. Because Indians should not be deprived of the best and the latest treatments. Just because we're Indian, we shouldn't be more deprived of that. Thank you.
Yeah. And I'll agree with you, too. And I think Daniel's been in a lot of conversations, most of the conversations that we had about treatment, addressing how to do it. I mean, I think it's always best to have a well-rounded approach, having a bit of culture, having a bit of spirituality, but also that physiological aspect. We can't deny that opiates, heroin, has a physical connection there. And so the use of Suboxone, methadone, and all those are ways. It's not the way, but they are also possible ways for individuals that have and used and gotten past their addiction. And so I know Dan has been a part of those conversations, and so I think this is the best group to go to open up the horizons, to be able to bring back those, I guess, discussions points, to say we have to be open-minded about all forms of treatment when dealing with these addictions, and looking at places like White Earth, where they have the mother's program, where the mothers who are addicted, the caring mothers are addicted to heroin, and that even the doctors up there took a while for them to understand that they needed to be treated. They need to treat the mothers, otherwise the babies inside them that are addicted can die. And so that little bit of treatment did help the babies survive. And so I think, you know, I think that we have a good group going there. And so I do want to recognize your comments, and that I think, we can have confidence in the group going, that they will have an open mind about all the options. And thank you for your comment. All right, Ben?
Good afternoon. what I would like to, add to what Mr. Delgado was saying, with all due respect, anybody that knows me would know I promote native healing. That's just my personality. However, I myself receive medications because I don't know the how to control my pain levels, etc., naturally, to the degree that the pharmaceuticals help me, because of the daily ups and downs, etc. My personal blessing is I'm allergic to many or most pain medications. So, frankly, that drug scene is just, it's immune to my knowledge in terms of what, how extreme people's lives become in peril from those substances, because I can't take them anyway. You know, even legally, I can't take them. And so it's just not a part of my life and never has been. On the other hand, I would like to help our membership understand that many of us, whether it's cancer or any variety of diseases, that we may well promote native healing is in collaboration with pharmaceuticals many times. And so I like to see more collaboration than dissension in those areas locally, as well as my primary concern. And when I hear things coming out of TAP, I think is the acronym, and I'm not totally informed. Many of you know I don't go to meetings regularly, et cetera, so I am not going to admit to be totally informed. However, what I'm hearing is that we're looking for a wellness center of some type. And some of those, whether it's a healing process, whether you want whatever name words we want to use is really immaterial to me, a healing process for our community in a variety of ways. Drugs, alcohol, and or psychological conditions seem to be a primary focus. And I would like to encourage and instill that we have certified people working in these realms, certified individuals with the medical knowledge, et cetera, and alcoholism, and et cetera, because we have had in the past delivery systems without the certifications there of individuals, and I have always been against that, and I've been a patient of some of it. So, and I found out that my counselors aren't even certified. I was shocked. And so, likewise, just because a person has a PhD in some medical, that doesn't mean that they have the background to be a psychoanalyst or a psychologist. There's certifications for that. And I would not want, I guess on the other side of the stick, that puts us in quandary. Where do people like myself get recognized who are helping our people traditionally on a daily basis, et cetera? I don't have a PhD, et cetera. However, the people that come to me entrust me throughout the Iroquois Confederacy. So I think there's a level of respect, too, that is deserved among individuals, because we didn't learn from waking up one day and saying, oh, my God, I'm this or that. And I don't go tell people I'm this or that. They come to me for whatever purpose. They've heard through the grapevine or whatever. And so, you know, because that's not our way to go solicit help. But sometimes we need that collaboration and respect between these levels of interactions from within our community. Because even though I'm not certified as a medical personnel, I'm very knowledgeable and very well educated and refer people to behavioral health, et cetera. Because I'm not going to take on something I cannot delve into. And sometimes there's a fine line between those realms. And I think many times there's a collaboration could be established. But I do believe we need certified individuals in the various levels of interaction in that healing process. Nyawe.
Yep. Daniel?
Thank you, Mr. Cannon, for your comments. I totally agree with and understand what you said. And one thing that we've been working on within the Tribal Action Plan is to recognize that uncertified knowledge, that traditional healing knowledge that individuals within our community have. And so just, I believe, yesterday, if it hasn't been sent already, we sent a memo to our Human Resources Department to reevaluate some of our policies in regards to valuing that knowledge and changing our values to being able to pay and hire those individuals with that knowledge, so they can be a part of our tribal action plan and throughout the organization wherever they're needed. So that's something that we're working on as we speak. Thank you.
Joanne?
I think one of the parts of talking about culturally relevant assistance, counseling for addiction, is not referring to a non-chemical dependency process. It's actually referring to an awareness of the culture of the individual that is coming in for assistance, the historical trauma of Native Americans, of the Jewish community, of the Hmong community that they carry with them, the social ties and networking that occurs within reservations, within different social and geographical groups is important to understand in making and providing assistance, because one thing does not fit all. Coming out of the behavioral health area, coming out of the drug addiction to chemical dependency, alcohol addiction, counseling area, when they talk about culturally relevant counseling, that's what they're talking about. Incorporating the knowledge and awareness of the background of that individual in providing that assistance. And that assistance includes all of the other available remedies. The other is my understanding in talking with behavioral health that they don't fund methadone in part. It is because of the Indian Health Services contract that we have. It is also in part because there are other non-addictive, equally assistive drugs that are available for individuals that aren't methadone, that aren't addictive, but are equally supportive of getting out of that drug addictive behavior. So those are the two of the things that I just wanted to bring up, make sure that we were aware on how we're discussing these issues when we talk about culturally relevant counseling. It's simply recognizing the background of the individual and what that needs to bring into the process itself and how that affects the individual and their activities and how they ended up in an addictive posture. Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, any more comments or questions? If not, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. We have before you the 2019 Indian Housing Plan. So, Dana, thank you. Can you go through a little synopsis of what we have here today?
And I just want to clarify, too, the Indian Housing Plan is only pertaining to the low-income units for housing. So this is a plan that we have to turn in annually. So it does not include the general rentals or residential sales as part of the budget.
Dina, could you speak up a little bit?
Sorry.
Thank you.
Okay, so as part of this Indian Housing Plan, under development, we have the rehabilitation of two acquisition units that will be purchased this month. One is a four-bedroom unit, and one is a three-bedroom unit on Seminary Road. Also under development is about $2.4 million for eight cottages at Elder Village. Another item under development is looking into low-income housing tax credits leveraged with NAHASDA dollars, which would restrict the applicants to Oneida only. And projected, we are looking at 25 units. It'd be about a $5.6 million project. And the contribution from the NAHASDA funds that would be leveraged would be $970,000. Under rehabilitation, we'll be reinvesting into our NAHASDA stock, which includes siding, roofing, flooring, and windows. in other programs that are underneath the Indian Housing Plan is the maintenance of our units. Planning and administration and the resident services portion and also crime prevention. Our current budget will be for $6.2 million of our current IHBG funds. There will be $2.9 million of other funds, which includes $92,000 of Veteran Affairs Supportive Housing, $1.2 million of program income, and $1.6 million of low-income housing tax credit dollars.
David?
On the first page, I noticed that it's still listed as Oneida Tribe of Indians, if that could be changed to Oneida Nation?
Yes. I do also have to edit. Under the cottages, I originally had 9, but with the current bidding process, we will be doing 8 cottages.
8?
8.
Okay.
Trish?
The same, I think, in the narrative in the application, on page 2 of the application, or is it 2? No. In the narrative, the descriptions, the first one, I think it says geographic distribution. In there it says Oneida Tribe of Indians of Wisconsin also. The first portion says Oneida Nation Reservation, so if it just... Make sure that that's corrected throughout the document.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just seen a couple of typos, so if you want to make sure you do a spell check on it before you send it in. And is Elder Cottages the location down here?
It's
a continuation of that?
The continuation, yes.
And then
so after the 8, there's still an additional room for 15 more cottages at Elder Village.
Really? Mm-hmm. And then for the new portion, the new houses, what did you say, $2 million for that? What was the first statement you said? I don't. Wasn't.
I have $2.4 million for the 8 Elder Cottages.
Oh, so. So is does that include the infrastructure?
The infrastructure is already there in place, so that doesn't include infrastructure.
Okay. So it's like $300,000 a unit average?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, we always talked about, David's always talked about this as how we can get, as difficulty as we have prevailing wage, I think that's
yes.
That's put into it, and so that increases our cost. I think it would be helpful for us to understand, take all those factors out, and then still look at the price of the home as well, too. I think that's something we need to...
So the actual value of the home, not the cost of...
Yeah, not the total cost, but the actual value of the build. And so I think that's something to help us understand a little bit better. So It is a huge number, and so when we explain it to the community numbers, why does it cost so much, that prevailing wage is one of those determining factors. And so... We can't get around that working with federal funds. So just looking at those different models, I think David had some good suggestions in the past about how we can decrease those build costs. And so I think that's something we need to consider. And then broaden that conversation about, the rental units. And I think those are the type of things that we need to address with the community, is making sure we're getting affordable homes, not all subsidized all the time, but expanding the rental program to see, as a lot of people don't want home ownership.
Right.
And so this isn't really in there, but it's just a broader housing conversation that we need to have.
Yes.
And any more discussion on the Indian Housing Plan? Bonnie? We're on, it starts on 50, 49, 45. The actual plan starts on 46. All right, Bonnie?
I don't know if my question is to the comprehensive plan that she's presenting here, but is this part of the request from General Tribal Council on having more homes and things to that nature, or is it just a spinoff from continuing programs, I guess?
This is just from continuing programs, so it only applies to the income-based program, and it's just part of the federal regulations to submit this plan annually.
Yeah. I guess, I don't know if, like I said, I might be off topic, but part of what I think General Tribal Council has been asking for is housing, specifically whether it's through these programs or not. And I see, like everybody else sees, Hobart building all these homes, and they have companies that come in and do that for them. You know, they purchase because they own the land, they have companies that they can work with to do that. I don't know why the nation makes it difficult to only think we can only build homes through federally funded programs and things to that nature, when individuals could apply for the properties that, because they're building on properties we say we can't build on. They're, you know, too swampy or whatever it might be. And I see Hobart building, they do improvements in their infrastructure to make it livable so that they can put homes in there. And I don't know why the nation, I know we're not into the business of building homes, but I think that putting that out there, people just don't know the process, and I don't think we're helping them to do that either by just saying, well, these are the only ones we have. So thank you.
Yeah, I think that lends to a broader conversation that we need to have about, you know, our environmental standards if we want to preserve the balance of the environment and housing. The difficulty that we have with Hobart is they have people who are going to purchase a home. They're going to put up $200,000, $150,000 and buy a home, and where our tribal members, you know, have difficulty, you know, getting that much for a mortgage. And so that's kind of the difficulty we have is sure, we would like to do it, but then we have enough tribal members that are actually going to be able to afford those types of homes and not just always building low-income homes. I think that's the difficulty we have, is how do we graduate our tribal members into home ownership or maybe something bigger to build an asset, to build wealth, basically. So I think it's a good conversation that we do need to have, and so about housing overall. And I know what Ed's going to say, too, because he's going to talk about the regulations on, you know, we can't build on certain lands, but they're going to build on certain lands. And I think that's really the question that we do need to discuss, so, you know, because they continue to do it. You look on Nathan Lane on the south end, you know, we passed up on a property down there, and now there's duplexes like crazy over there. It's a humongous development down there, and we definitely missed out by letting that slip through our hands. And Hobart continues to build, and so, yeah, go ahead, Ed.
You're right. I was going to say first, I'm going to sound like a broken record. You got me first. But where I live, that whole area on between H and Van Boxtel, not one Indian home has gone up on either side. And it's about 3/4 of a mile on both sides. But about 7 non-Indian homes have gone up. And then we sit back and wonder, why are we losing control of our res? Because Indians can't build on it. We regulate our own people out of being able to build. Broken record again. And we also, in those regulations, have adopted regulations that are totally non-Indian. When you tell a person they have to have a house that's too big for them, you're telling us to violate our beliefs in taking care of Mother Earth. Because if you live in a house, or are made to make live in a house that burns more energy than you can afford or that you want, or use more electricity, you're building a house that is in violation of our Creator. And I ain't no big Creator guy either, but there are certain things that are important, and our Earth is important. So I'm just saying that we tend to overregulate, and that's part of the problem of Indians not living on their own reservation. And we talk about
Well, when the endowments, I mean, when they, in the 1880s, when they took away the reservations that we held in common and gave allotments, when we held that land in common, I don't believe Indians went homeless or you can't be on here because it was held in common. We didn't have Oneidas on this reservation when it was in common that they had to live in Green Bay. You're now no longer welcome on this reservation unless you have a big house. We survived somehow. And that's what we're saying we're trying to do in acquiring this land, that this land that we're acquiring and using our money for, this will be held in common. It belongs to all of us. So why are we excluding elders? Why are we excluding young families who can't afford to live here yet? And why can't they? I'm not saying to build, but many elders, the baby boomers, they're in a position, a lot of them, to build. But I think you need to give them a better piece of land than what's being showcased on Beechtree. Next to a what looks like a water thing where they hold water, which means a lot of mosquitoes. That's not the best we can do. We can do a lot better. There's a lot of beautiful land on this reservation. And it's not people saying we want the tribe to do something for us, because I think many people can afford to build if they are able to build according to their needs and their resources, and then they can grow. Thank you.
Thank you, Ed. All right, Kathy?
Thank you. It's always exciting when somebody can read somebody's mind before they say anything. That excites me. I have a question, but also I have comment, and I'll do my comment first. I do a lot of helping people, so I travel on surrounding areas, and I'm around. And I've been watching home builders. I've been in Green Bay. I watched a home be built in less than 2 months, and they were moving into it before that 2 months was up. On Double E, there's a house being built. It started, the basement was done Memorial weekend, and it's got the roof on. I think they're going to be starting the siding pretty soon. And that's since Memorial weekend. That's another 2 months. I can see homes being built. I seen a house go up in about a month. I was absolutely amazed when I seen this. And I'm sure those people have a lot of money where they can do that and accomplish that. But what I see around here a lot of times is there's time frames of a year or two to get something built. And I used to sit with my friend down the road, and we talk a lot about a lot of things. But he used to tell me, he was a very good friend of mine, and he used to tell me, if you're going to have something done, you need to get white man to do it, because our people don't know how to do it. And I look forward to when our people can learn how to do their jobs. And I always get excited about that kind of stuff. And I've been watching this house over here, and we all know what we're talking about. It burned down, and I'm going to bring it up. But I've been observing it because I have friends that live in that vicinity, and I've been visiting for years. So I've been watching them work on this house every day, 5 days a week, ever since probably last summer or late summer, early fall maybe, and they're still working on it. The house was up. The siding was on, the windows were in, and I talked to a friend of mine who was a supervised construction worker, and he's non-native, and I told him about this house, and he knows people, and it didn't pass inspection. So I said, they're working on it. They've been working on it all winter, all year. They're still working on it. They're there 5 days a week. The trucks are there. Everything's there. And why would it take so long for this house to be finished when it was already basically a shell and just needed the insides done? So I'm curious about that house. Why is it taking so long? How much is it costing us? You know, I know there's been incidents where homes that could have cost us fairly you know, well, price has gone up over $300,000 and $400,000 when it shouldn't be. So I'm looking at this house and I'm wondering, how much is it costing us to fix that house up? I am wondering who's going to go in it, who's chosen for it. It's a three-story house, and a lot of people are talking about it. And so the surrounding areas where non-native people work and build, they can do things, amazing things in 2 months, in less than 2 months. And here we are on probably close to a year. So I want to know why, how much the cost is, what is the waste. There is, you know, in my mind, I know, because I've been active for 30 years, and I know, and by talk and observation and everything, there is material sitting outside. They're sitting outside in the elements. And I asked, I said, why would those be sitting out there? And they said, well, somebody's making a lot of money off of it. They overorder, and then that's where you get under the table stuff happening. So I'm very curious about this house. I took pictures of it. I took pictures of the materials sitting around there and laying around. And there's not just one or two people in that house working. And I hear rumors and stuff of other places where they're sitting and they're playing cards. You know, whether they're married to a BC member, I don't know. I don't know what the issue is, but I'd like to know. I'm very curious, and I don't know if I should put in a petition form or a complaint form or audit form. What is going on with this house? This, you know, we call it the stairway to heaven, because the reason for the three stories was so that they could be closer to the Creator. And that was the reasoning for building that three-story house, according to the neighbors. That was the conversations that took place. So I'm calling it the stairway to heaven. What's taking so long? Are we really going to heaven with this house? Is that why it's taking so long? And how much is it costing us? Thank you.
So we'll just stick to the IHP plan, but then I think that's something we need to, the business committee needs to be abreast of, just about, you know, what's going on with the house. I think it's a good question, but not relevant to the IHP. Ben?
Good afternoon again. I come from, you know, my father was a civil engineer, land surveyor, and a draftsman. He kept certifications in those three realms for over 30 years in the state of Wisconsin and Illinois. And one of the primary focus when he took on any subdivision, et cetera, was the preservation of the natural resources the best we could with development on that piece of land. And I heard him go back and forth with the landowners again and again over how and why he designed this particular area the way he did. And at times, you know, he kind of would agree to a little bit here and there, but when it came to what could be the truest form of wetlands, et cetera, he wouldn't budge. There's just no way he would budge. And along those lines, likewise, in the round area of Round Lake, Illinois, 30 years after he had done this subdivision, I ran into a person at the old Manders Bar. They overheard a discussion of a friend and I who had lived in that area as kids. This person had a plat with my father's signature on it. He said it, Howard T. Cannon Sr., 1950-something, and how that whole subdivision to that day into the early 80s was still up to par in terms of their water drainage, very, very little problems from anybody in that community with problems with their basements, et cetera. And so in that mind, I think that's something that we need to, it's a forerunner in native mind. How can we set ourselves as separate as natives, calling ourselves Oñoo de Ag or any other nation on the book, and not preserve those wetlands? You know, and that's one thing that burned my gut is when Cabela's was allowed to build in lands because of a jurisdictional change by the DNR, backed by the Packers, and I believe many Oneida Nation members verbally backed that decision, yet it opened up several thousand acres of land statewide. It wasn't just that 2.5-acre parcel. And that's the part that many of us lose sight of. You know, we look at the, oh, that's only 2 acres. But that jurisdiction opened up land statewide that was not able to be developed for a reason. Not just merely, oh, because there's some cattails there. That, in order for cattails to survive, it needs a certain environment. And the other natural resources that grow in that environment are interdependent upon each other. Everything's interdependent upon each other, just like every, you know, the groundwater versus water that's down under the aqueduct, the bedrock. There's a big difference in the quality of water there, a huge difference. My grandfather's well went under the bedrock. So I learned that as a little kid from family experience, let alone my father's legacy as learning, working with land and for the protection of wetlands, etc. That was all him. That was, and that's, to me, that's as native as you can get psychologically. And so I think there's a big difference. We do have a lot of lands within the Oneida Reservation that border wetlands, but we do have a lot of lands also that are owned. For some reason, we're supposed to have all this corn that we're buying corn from Seneca's. So if somewhere we're failing in the utilization of land that's supposedly perkable and farmable, we're not producing all the products by ourselves that to have an Oneida market. It's individuals doing that, not the nation necessarily per se, no disrespect to anything. But I'm saying there's more individual competition and individual looking after each other than there is holistically us looking after ourselves. And that's the issue where I come from is if the stock market falls tomorrow, how well is this community prepared to have each other's back? And that's a dirty, rotten shame, the reality that I see going on. Nyawe.
No. Okay. All right, so any more questions or concerns? You guys are okay to, ready to approve the IHP?
I'll make a motion to approve the 2019 Indian Housing Plan with the noted changes.
Support.
The motion has been made and seconded. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Just a question. You said that whatever I said about the Stairway to Heaven doesn't apply. Well, I see something in here that says substandard units needing rehabilitation. I see infrastructure to support housing. I see maintenance and rehabilitation needs, new construction in here, assess and improve efficiency and management, the policies, development of staff training and financial leverage. You know, I think what I was saying applies. Just in my mind.
Yeah, you know? It is. The home that you're talking about is a mortgage home. It's a land management home, but it's not a low-income home, which the IHP deals with specifically low-income housing.
I think it's 7181 Path of the Bear.
71, yeah, yeah.
That one is not in the FY19 IHP. It'll be completed in the 2018 fiscal year. That's why it's not in the 2019 plan.
Okay. All right, so the motion is made and seconded. Okay, we're good with that one. Item D, approve two actions regarding building security. Did we vote? Yeah, we voted on it, didn't we? Yeah. Okay. Okay. Let me see. This starts on page 62. Laura, do you have kind of a synopsis on? I know we have. We just need a little explanation on.
So there was discussion with the business committee about having security on site, because during the school year there is an officer in the office, but he's specifically for the school. So I was asked to just look into the cost for having a security on site, and I just provided a memo as a handout this morning, because the one that I had submitted in my monthly report didn't have the full picture and was misleading with the 10-hour portion. So I broke it out into 10 hours a week every week, or 10 hours if we just wanted to do the BC meeting days, and some maybe a little extra for a different meeting or something. So I just broke it down, the cost, and the discussion at I think it was the officer meeting was having a full-time security here in the summer months for the rest of this summer, and then discussing what you wanted to do for FY19. And so Pogi is on standby to take care of all of that. So that was the discussion. So the request was to approve the remaining months of summer until there's an officer here for this year's budget, and then looking at 19 in September.
Mr. Chair?
All right. Trish?
I think the first part of it was how we were going to fund it for the remainder of this fiscal year, and that would come out of special projects. We need to put that on the agenda as a process, a formal process, according to our SOP. So I think that's what this is about. There's they're making a request to, it doesn't specifically state that in the memorandum, but that was the intent, to approve that the 2 months or the remaining year come out of the special projects budget, and to budget the full proposal for fiscal year 19.
And that's on page 61 in your packet, it looks like, the action requested.
Ernie?
I just want to reiterate some of the questions that Pogi posed as far as you know, where it's budgeted. Is this an HR approval process? Is this a contracted person? You know, just to see what the options are. We're looking for, you know, someone from existing security staff, or are they going to hire that? Or, you know, could we look at a retired OPD officer that's still around and looking for something to do? I mean, there's options to this because of I guess how it's laid out. So those are, I guess, my questions is are we looking at that yet? And is this something we're prepared to do right now? Or is there more discussion to have about how we should structure it? I think we should think about that given the time frame and, I guess, the purpose of it.
I can answer a little bit of that, Ernie. I did a little bit of the legwork behind. I spoke with Chief in Boxtel, and he recommended working with Gudgee within security. And then we have in working with Dee Dee, who does the scheduling over there, she said to just let her know enough in advance and that they would schedule someone. That's because they want to kind of know the amount of hours so that they could schedule by month or however they need to, as much time as possible, but that they would just put somebody in their staff in rotation. That helps. Chairman Stevens. I mean, Councilman Stevens. Sorry.
Any more questions? All right. Kathy?
I think intent has no place in this. You know, you can bring up the issue of what the intent was, but if it wasn't in specific wording or language, then it's a waste of time trying to say intent, I think.
Well, it is in a document.
Why is this? You say employee safe and maintaining order. I guess I'm wondering why, because I recall back where an individual refused to do a report here because it was a hostile environment. And at that time, I asked, when was it made or decided that there was a hostile environment. I never seen any documentation. I know I wrote complaints about some people's behaviors, including some of the business committee members' behaviors, and I filed complaints. But I do not recall ever hearing or seeing anything written form that this floor right here was a hostile environment. So if you're saying there's a hostile environment here, which I recall was stated for as a reasoning for someone to not give a report. And my question was, when was that decided? When was it voted on? Where's the backup documentation for all of that at that time? So today, I'm going to reiterate what I said back then. Where's the backup documentation? You're talking about employees being safe. You know, I'm just a member. I'm not good enough to be an employee, I guess. But where is the backup documentation to show? Because I've heard that comment coming from, I don't know if it would be a management position, but it was a board. They sit on boards, committees, and commissions. And for someone to say, I'm not going to give my report because this is a hostile environment, that's a clear statement of what supposedly is happening here. So I want to know once again, where's the documentation? Where was the when was the decision made? And when is everybody in danger if it's not such a safe place to have security or whatever? Your doors are locked. People can't get in here without signing in or anything like that. So what's the basis for all this? I mean, if somebody's in danger or, you know, if there's no safety or you need to maintain order, what's happening? Because it's not just about the accusations that were made about individuals being here, but I made allegations and accusations against BC members and against police commission members and against other people, and nothing ever came out of any of those. So where's all the backup documentation to need the security for safety? Thank you.
Okay, any more questions or concerns? Bonnie?
I'd just like to inquire. I believe this past spring, business committee took action to implement some security features for the safety, I think primarily for the students. So because of all the shootings that were happening and things across the nation itself, as part of that, some of the requirements were that when you came to this building, if you were not an employee of this building, you had to have sign in and you had to be escorted to wherever you were going to be going to. I have hints to see that happen but one time. Even now, today, coming into this building, I'm not escorted up to this room here. And when I have asked the questions about that, they don't have a staff. I don't know if the purpose of the security officer, if that's part of what you're including in their duties or not. You know, I totally get that if I'm going to come to a meeting here, I need to make myself get here early enough so that perhaps one person that they may have escorting people to wherever they are in the building, that I have enough time to get to my meeting on time. Because it's only one person, and I know a lot of times the lady that sits at the front desk down there, she's not going to leave her desk because she has to answer that phone. And so there's, you know, things like, I don't know if that's what's being rolled up into this, but I think there's other considerations that the business committee took action on previously to say, this is what we're doing to protect, I think, really to protect the students that are in this building, not just the employees. But I think it was to address the issue out there that seems to be common themed about shooting in schools and places where our children go and employees in general, I guess, with the active shooter thing. But I guess I'm wondering if that's being considered as part of this because a part-time person I don't think is going to work. And I don't know how the rolling thing with security, how that will work either because what happens when they call in sick? You're still stuck without security. So, all right. Thank you.
All right. So I think that's one of the considerations that we do have is this, especially the meetings here, is how does the individuals get up? I mean, it's supposed to be, you know, an open government, open accessible government, and how do we do that in an effective way while keeping the employees and other patron or other members safe as well. So, you know, going to D.C., you see Hart office and Dirksen and all those that have, you know, security measures going in. So I think that's something that we need to consider. But this is to be able to curb some of that in the meantime. So what do you guys, what are your wishes? Trish?
Mr. Chair, as I identified there in the documentation, it does identify that the request was to come for the part-time, the remainder of this fiscal year, to approve the request for the remainder of this fiscal year to come from the business committee special projects line, and then also to approve forwarding the full proposal in, to be input with the fiscal year 19 budget.
So that's your motion?
That's the motion, yeah.
Okay, that sounds different from the requested action. Is that still okay? To approve the full-time hire of the security officer for months of July and August 2018, part-time for the remainder of the fiscal year 2018, and then budget for a part-time security officer annually starting in 2019.
Okay, so the first two parts of that, July and August 2018, and that's for a full-time hire for July and August, and then part-time for the remainder of the fiscal year 2018, which is September, which is when the school will come in. That part, all of that will come out of the special projects budget. So I see what you're saying. There's two. There's a part-time and a full-time, and I'm saying that those...
Fiscal year 2018 will come out of special projects, and we will budget... We will budget specifically for the officer in the fiscal 19.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Okay, so this is, I'll try and give a synopsis. To approve the full-time hire of security officer for the months of July and August 2018 out of the BC special projects budget.
And the
part-time for the remainder of the fiscal year. And then budget for a part-time security officer in the 2017 annual budget. 2019 budget, annual budget. Is that okay? Do you want to?
No, the second year will not be in special projects.
Okay.
The only reason it's in special projects is because we want to do it this year, and it's part of our the needs for our security and safety, so it's an issue that we have to take care of. So that's why I'm suggesting it come out of special projects. The other part of it, the rest of it, is will become a separate PRT in the business committee administration budget next year.
Okay. Now, just more reading this request, it just sounds weird. It doesn't sound... To approve full-time hire of a security officer for the months of July and August 2018, part-time... For the remainder of the fiscal year 2018.
Out of special projects.
Out of special BC projects line.
Yes.
And then for budget part-time security officer in the 2019 fiscal year budget. And so I'll just be broad about that one so we can just put it wherever it needs to go rather
yes.
than. Okay. Yes. So you're okay with that?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I already talked to Poggy about it. Yes.
Okay. All right, looking for
May
a second.
I ask a quick question?
I'll get a second
relative
and then.
To this.
Yeah, I'll get a second and then I'll ask for discussion. Anyone second it? First call? Second call?
I'll second that. I do got a question. You're saying part time, so part time is 20 hours a week, but yet I'm seeing 40 hours a week on here.
There's an asterisk for part-time is 10 hours or 20 hours or 25 hours. It's not
go up to 32.
Just 20 hours.
There's a correction.
So then the full-time is the 40 hours on the bottom of the
line. The asterisk is a mistake. So the next line is the real number in the handout.
Can you give
so if you look at so if you look at the handout, there is a mistake, and it was corrected, and that's why the handout is here. So on the first line for 10 hours, it says $211 weekly. And if you multiply that by 4 weeks, it does not come up to 422. It comes up to 914.33. And then you multiply that by four quarters, and it's 2743, where the first line says 422 monthly, and quarterly is 1266. So the corrected line is the second line. I just wanted to point that out to everybody.
Okay. And the difference is that if we want 10 hours a week, every week, all month, or just two times a month for the BC meetings. So that's why on the updated memo, there's two 10-hour, one with the asterisk.
This is the corrected line.
Okay. All right. Because when I created the times, there wasn't clarification on what amount of hours we wanted, just discussion about, okay, do we just want them here for BC meetings or more? So I just created the estimates based on a variety of different hours and options.
So security couldn't designate someone for that little of time to come over at a particular, rather than having an actual rehire?
It's not a rehire.
It sounds like you're hiring an additional officer here when...
I think she just wants to plan the schedule so that they have enough people on, because it'll be one more person they have in that rotation.
So the language says to hire, the full-time hire. And so that's kind of where I'm getting. I don't think we need to hire an additional person when it could be just an existing officer being, you know, dedicated here for 10 to 40 hours a week. But I think if it's 40 hours a week, we probably should hire.
Right.
So
that's what's being asked for, to hire. But in the first part of it, the remainder of this fiscal year is an inter-tribal service.
Okay.
So we still have to pay for it, but it's internally.
Just allocating the funds to allow the internal transfer, whatever it is, of existing person over here, and then hire someone in the fiscal 19?
Yes.
Like, okay.
Those are 40 hours.
Okay. So is that... Okay.
I think.
Yeah, I'm not. I didn't understand that coming in, we were going to hire someone. So I'm sorry, Ben. I was just trying to figure this out until.
I'm still trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
I mean, just from the conversation, what I fail to understand is why would we have a full-time officer July and August, and then part-time for semester and throughout the year when the children are here. That's what I find confusing, because right now the children aren't here and we're having somebody full-time. What is the fear factor that we need someone here full-time? Are they here just for the purposes of the BC? Are they here for other meetings? And even if they are here for other meetings, some of those other meetings are still going to go on during the school year. The kids, the children, I don't like that word kids, it refers to goats in origin. However, the children are here, 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, they're starting to arrive, and they leave after intramurals, which could end, 5 o'clock or later before they get a bus or a ride home. It seems to me it'd be more imperative to have a full-time officer during the year when children are here, or am I missing something?
They do. It's just dedicated to this area here for the meetings. For the meetings. And so that's kind of the discussion we're having, and whether or not that's 10 hours, 40 hours, I think that's kind of the discussion I think we're not having. I think we're finally getting there, is what do we feel, what meetings.
So that's the confusing factor. Why 40 hours now? Why is that necessary?
The simple answer is that during the school year, the school has a DARE officer available that's focused on the school, but the business committee also has meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And so they only need that officer part-time during the school year, because the school is fully covered. In the summer, the school has no DARE officer available.
The children aren't here.
They will. The business committee requests having an officer available during their meeting. So that's the reason for the difference between the full and the part-time.
During their meeting. But they are, yes. Okay, so why we don't have full-time meetings?
No, the business committee has, as well as the finance committee, the audit committee, the legislative operating committee.
So it's other committees besides the business committee.
There are multiple meetings occurring in this.
I think that was the clarity that not only myself was missing. Thank you.
Okay. Ernie?
Yeah, I still don't have enough information in this packet, or I wasn't in on certain discussions to really understand that we're doing this the most logical way at this point. You know, the reason I asked questions earlier is because there are other options to make it logical. I don't support using special projects to do this right now. I can't support it if that's the motion. You know, when we're not considering other things that are that this that particular line item is meant for, but we're going to do this without enough information to even consider. So that's my concerns. I don't disagree that we need to look at it and figure it out. I just don't see that figured out here in this packet and this information or in this discussion. But I understand all the factors and considerations schedule wise. I just feel that without having something from security saying here's how we can rotationally do this and make it work for your schedules, with the schedule, you know, in mind that they've seen that. If that's taken place, I need to see it. If it hasn't, it needs to before we make a decision on this, and just really figure out, or do we need to hire a full-time person that can, whose time can shift? And that's why I asked for a potentially retired person, because their schedules are more flexible. We can hire someone with security who, for those extreme needs, which we really aren't talking about. You know, we're not talking about some of the things. If we really need an officer up here to defend from what? You know, is that officer able to defend from those unspoken things? If we really want to talk about protecting our kids from a shooter, can that security officer do that? So we're not talking about enough things here. And I think if an officer with that training is here, with the ability to supersede or, you know, circumvent, carrying laws, otherwise it's why are we discussing it? You know, if it's about the children, we need someone who can carry and who can protect them, you know, safely. So I just thought there's not enough information to support based on this request. I would consider it. Just have to figure it out further.
Trish?
Well, due respect, Ernie, we've been having all of these discussions for about 6 months now.
I haven't heard logically.
And it came back to the officers for a recommendation. And because we are pressed with time in regards to the budget, we went through all these ancillary discussions, these points that you're raising. We looked at alternatives. At the time, the security just was inundated with all of the July events that were going on. We just didn't have enough time to get communication. At this point, you know, this year, if you don't want to use special projects, we don't have a fund for it. We can discuss how to ask to be on their schedule. We've done that, but they're already scheduled at places because that's where they work. So to include them include us in their schedule is already challenging enough, and now they may have to hire somebody to cover the other areas. So that's why the reason that the intertribal service needs to be billed. They need funding for that. The next year, it's a guarantee because it's 40 hours. And so I'm just suggesting that we hire for the full-time position. You know, that we hire this whole thing. I mean, we work this whole thing throughout the budget in the next year. But if we don't get the input in by today, there will be nothing. So, you know, I pushed this as long as I can push it. We debated it several times. We argued about it. We came to consensus, and now it's ready. I know that the documents in here don't explicitly show that we dialogued about this at our work sessions, and then it was deferred to the officers to finalize it. And so, you know, I just want to bring that point out, but I don't know how the rest of y'all feel, but I'm still ready to do this. And if we can make a change after the decision is made today, we can take all those considerations and adjust. But right now, it's for planning purposes to get something accomplished.
Okay, yeah, I just think it needs to be developed more. In the proposal, all the discussions don't really kind of, it doesn't really reflect. So if you weren't in the discussions, you had,
right.
You know, it doesn't show, because my question was never answered in our discussions about do we need an officer in finance committee, do we need an officer in LOC meetings. I just figured because the BC meetings law that the officer would be, you know, per the law, available as a sergeant of arms. In those cases where those other meetings were just subcommittees of the business committee. And so we didn't really answer those questions. And so we have a broad range of, you know, ideas that isn't really vetted through. We're just going to pass it and then see what we need after we pass it. So I do feel we need to discuss it a little more.
We can table it and then we'll discuss it, but we won't have anything for the budget. I'm okay with tabling it and doing all of that, but I just want you to know that we are out to the deadline, and so our staff did a lot of work in trying to find these numbers and everything. So, yeah.
So I mean, we could determine that right now. We're kind of having the discussion is if it's only going to be BC meetings, or if it's only if we want to expand it, we could limit that to the 10 hours per week, or whatnot. I think that's. I agree with the general concept. It's just how to. The detail ask isn't here. Even the detail conversation that led us here, the detail ask isn't here to say what is exactly what we're planning to do with when we expend the funds. Kirby?
Yeah, I supported it because it was discussed in Tuesday's meeting and there was only two council members present in the discussion. Mm-hmm. So it was discussed earlier.
Yeah. So are you guys okay with moving this forward, or?
I'm okay with it. I think we do need to have an officer designated for these meetings, but
there's seats up here available if you'd like to come up closer. A lot of open seats up here.
But I'd like to see maybe if we can designate for the, you know, for the rest of the remainder of this fiscal year, we can approve it. But then I'd like to see a more detailed plan and better plan for 2019.
So. Trish?
There is an opportunity here. Like I said, if we want to put it in the budget like this, we are going to be going through the adjustments later in August. So when we go through the adjustments, that's when we can have the finalized plan. But for right now, I need to put something in there if you want the position to be included. So for this current year, there's not a problem. For next year, there's a problem. But we have time to adjust.
I have a question for whoever. So with regards to special projects, if you were to do it with what you're proposing, how much this fiscal year remaining is going to be used then? What was that number again?
I think it's in the packet.
10,000 to 43,000.
It'll even be less than that.
Yeah.
And then what would be the start date since we're already halfway? What would be the start date for that, since we're halfway in July? Did you catch that?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, finally.
You're welcome.
I guess that.
I can work that out with Dee Dee. Or I don't know if this would be Jessica. We can figure that out with us.
I kind of want to have the discussion because Bonnie did speak already on this, and so this is something the BC needs to figure out. This is an administrative thing, and so if you guys want to recess,
I'm going to call for the question.
Okay. Question has been called for. The motion is to... Did you get the motion?
I have approved the expenses for security at Norbert Hill Center for the remainder of this fiscal year to be paid from the OBC Special Projects budget and for funds to be budgeted for in FY19 going forward for security.
Okay, motion has been made and seconded. I will go down. I will start with Trish.
Support.
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 Abstain.
Okay, we have four that are in favor of the motion and one abstention. The motion carries, and yeah, the motion passes. Trish?
I'd like to make a subsequent motion that we defer the detail of the plan for further vetting it to the next BC work session. Finalize okay. it.
To defer the detail of the plan to the next BC session, work session.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So in my understanding, this was just to make sure that funds could be allocated for the activities of what we're talking about, and then we can come with the detail.
Yeah.
Okay.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Discussion. Kathy.
Thank you. For the record, I would like it to reflect that my reasoning for asking you to speak into the mics is so that we can hear you. And not only that, is I pay money for the tape recordings and the videos of these meetings. And there are times when you can't be heard. So when I ask to be heard or speak into the mics, my reasoning is because a lot of times there are instances where you sound like you're mumbling. And those are official records. And I want it to be noticed for the record that I'm asking once again, another business committee. I do this practically every time.
Okay. Duly
thank
noted.
You.
All right. Thank you. Motion made and seconded. Any more discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. All right. Thank you, Laura. All right. Travel requests. Approved travel requests in accordance with Section 219.16-1. Additional attendee law office to the Partners in Action Conference in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, July 17th through the 19th. Let's see, this will be on page 68. It starts 67. All right, can you give us an overview?
Yes, we had a last minute request from Kelly McAndrews, who is the attorney for land management, to attend the conference because she's going to be going to the conference and then scheduling, hopefully scheduling a meeting with BIA personnel on the railroad easement. So she came to me about a couple weeks ago and asked. And it may only be that it's per diem and mileage because the hotel may be booked by this because it's next week. So, and it's coming out of the estate planning grant.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. And so it was my understanding that Kelly McAndrews, the attorney, is going to be meeting with BIA officials over the railroad easement. Right-of-way easement. Okay, so that's an important issue we've been working on for the trail. It's been a long-standing item for us. Any more discussion?
Kathy? Is that an addition? What I'm looking at is Native American tourism under travel request, and then there's four individuals for comprehensive housing. I'm not seeing... Oh, shoot. Sorry about that. Sorry. I have my phone turned off. It's not working right.
Okay.
So
it is an addition, but let's see.
It is an addition.
Yeah, it's an addition to the total group.
So is there a handout?
I don't think you have the correct.
It's not an addition to the agenda. It's an addition to the group that's traveling.
Oh, is it group. The NATO one?
No, it's...
Because in my packet, it only has Native American tourism. And then number two is the comprehensive housing. So I'm not able to follow you again from the packet.
So 67, it says, 67 is the cover memo. It says, requesting to amend the procedural exception approval on May 9th for the Partners in Action Conference. Approval was for 12 people to attend. This amendment will add one more person for a total of 13. The new participant is Kelly McAndrews from the law office. She's going to be scheduling an evening meeting with BIA personnel on the railroad.
So once again, my packet is not, it's under not under travel. So I got a mixed up packet again. Sorry, I brought it up, but it my packet, we always have, I always have problems with these packets. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, that was in the travel request portion of the packet. You guys okay? Mm-hmm. All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Sorry, I didn't see you walking
that's
up.
All, I was walking up, and that's all right. But it's not it's on the subject on the line of the railroad easement, but I'm not. It's not particular to the request, and I just have a question how to obtain some information. Last night, there was words used like easement, conveyance, jurisdiction. I think there was like four terms that were used that tend to apply to different issues with land within the United Nations territories. And I'm just looking for a way to get some of the explanations of easement, what, you know, how jurisdiction plays into easement. What is the what was that? Something about conveyance last night. Covenants.
Yeah.
Covenants.
Covenants. Yeah. Restrictive covenants.
And then there is the words of conveyance that are also used at times too, when you're talking about certain easement rights. I know there's words of conveyance that comes up. So I'm just looking at terminology, how they are used, and they might apply to different areas. Because I know a public, a landowner within the town of Hobart, well, I know more than one of them, but they're paying taxes to Hobart, in other words, that live along that railroad, the former railroad, that come up with the idea, well, heck, if I knew Oneida Nation was going to specifically use this land for a natural way, whatever that would encompass for natural preservation purposes, I would sign it over. But there's no way in heck I want Hobart to come along and take it from me and turn around and use it for whatever they deem fit. So I'm kind of curious. So I kind of would like to see this lady talk with get the BIA background on the, you know, those legal aspects of what may be ours or not. But I'm also aware, too, that some of the terminologies changed. Even since I worked with my father, some of the things that I understood to be law have changed since that time. And so I'm not as informed as I thought I was. And so in that respect, I like to, you know, see maybe even to the General Tribal Council some type of a, so we can understand some of these terminologies when we're thrown at us, because some of us over 60, those words changed in our lifetime. Okay. And, you know, even, you know, where that's where Joanne and others can be helpful to us. At the same time, you know, again, how much I hope we can come to the point where we're not always throwing stones at Hobart and Hobart throwing stones at us. We got to sit down and talk at some point. And maybe this is an area that could bring some type of amicable conversation that make the whole thing a natural way. Who cares about individual? If we're all in agreement that it's going to be a natural resources reservoir and can put it into, who cares about who owns it? I mean, that's the way I look at it. Yahweh.
Yep. Thank you, Ben. Joanne?
To give a very general overview, last night's discussion involved the Village of Hobart has requested homeowners to put a restriction in their titles. And that restriction is the land can never be taken out of trust. It's not a long term in how the tribe thinks of it is generational, because sooner or later we're going to buy up all that land and have the ownership and the ability to say we're going to take this and put this in trust. So that's, depending on your point of view, that restriction on the title is effective. What it doesn't do in any way, shape, or form is if the tribe buys a piece of property, it's now under the jurisdiction of the tribe in regards to building and all of the other zoning activities regarding it. So what we were discussing last night in regards to Nancy's motion was actually the report that was tabled until all of the annual reports are received. And so the answers to those questions would have been in that report that was deferred. So when this matter comes back to the General Tribal Council, you should have all that information available to you in the presentation and in the materials that are sent out for the meeting that's scheduled for those deferred reports. But in general, the tribe has jurisdiction over fee land and trust land that's owned by the tribe or by an individual member of the tribe. And that deed restriction simply prohibits us from being able to bring it into trust land and remove the taxation portion on a temporary basis until we gain greater control over this area, whether it's through individuals living on the reservation or the simple purchase of land within the reservation boundaries.
Thank you, Joanne. Okay, so next item, approved tribal request for Secretary Lisa Summers, Tribal Caucus and Intertribal Criminal Justice Council meetings, Turtle Lake, Wisconsin, July 23rd through the 24th.
Motion to approve.
All right, motion has been made and seconded. Discussion? Daniel. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions, motion carries. All right, so this third one we kind of did, I think we did do earlier. So it's approve the travel.
The first one is to appoint the three. This is to approve his travel in accordance with the policy.
Okay, all right, so if you guys are okay now with approving the actual travel to the conference in St. Paul.
Yep.
Looking for a motion to approve the travel request for Councilman Daniel King, Guzman King, to Region 5 Tribal Opioid Strategic Planning Conference in St. Paul, Minnesota, August 21st to 24th.
Support. I do have a question, though. Is that a GTC date?
The 27th is the date.
All right.
Page 77.
Second.
Okay. But someone make the motion? Trish, you made the motion? Okay. Motion was made by Trish, seconded by David. Let's see. Okay. Well, just to note that this travel will be paid out of a grant.
Mine's on page 72.
72?
77.
That's what I got anyways.
I'm in the closed packet, that's why.
Oh, you're in a closed packet? Okay, so it's grant funded, so any more discussion? All right, seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. One abstention. Daniel? All right, General Tribal Council, we have the petition, Oneida Personnel Commission on Dissolution. We have three items to accept: the legislative analysis, the legal analysis, and the financial analysis. So we'll be looking for a motion to accept those.
Motion to accept the legislative analysis.
All right, motion has been made to accept the legislative analysis. Looking for a second. First call.
Support.
All right, motion has been made and seconded. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. Next is looking for a motion to accept the legal analysis.
Motion to accept the legal analysis.
So moved.
Second.
All right, motion. Clarissa, Jen?
Joanne.
Oh.
The corrected?
Sorry, wrong one.
It was emailed out.
Yeah, it was emailed.
And, there was a flurry of emails this morning to you regarding this petition. I really have no idea where the second one came from. But after I emailed it, I did get in some additional review and found that I had not accurately portrayed a portion of a General Tribal Council meeting. So I attempted to recall it, but you guys are quick. You've already read it. So I just sent you another one. The file that you should be receiving and reading, it has corrected at the end of the file name. The document itself incorporates the corrections to that references at the GTC meeting.
No, I think that's, we have to have that. Okay. It's a handout, or actually it isn't a handout. It was emailed to us. So I think that should be provided to the community right now. So they can take with them. But if you guys are okay with the one that was sent to 11:52 this morning, I think it was.
So yes.
And if you guys are okay with that. Looking for a motion to accept that legal analysis.
Motion to approve. I thought Trish made the motion.
Ernie did.
Over there it was.
Okay.
I'm just double checking something here.
I seconded it.
Okay.
Ready.
So made the motion, seconded. Any more discussion? Kathy?
Where can I pick up a copy?
We'll have one printed out shortly.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Lastly, on the General Tribal Council, is accept the financial analysis. And we will find that analysis on page, let's see, 95. So if you guys are okay with the financial analysis, looking for a motion to accept the financial analysis.
Don't move.
That motion has been made. Looking for a second.
Second.
Seconded. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right. So that is the end of the open session portion of the agenda. Give me a second while I get into the executive session notes.
Lisa, what's your name? H-I-J. This person.
Okay. First is a motion to, looking for a motion to accept the verbal chief counsel report provided on July 10th.
Second.
All right. Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Extensions?
Abstain.
Motion carries. Note one abstention. David? All right, let's see. Down to
The Oneida Golf Enterprise Corporation.
No action.
No action. The next steps regarding DR 16 employment contract. Suggested motion is to appoint Chairman Hill, Ernie Stevens III, and need to designate one other person. Secretary Summers is okay to negotiate a sub-team for DR 16 employment contract and provide notice to the employee.
So moved.
Motion has been made, seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Abstain. Motion carries. One abstention. David? Accept update. Let's see. Looking for a motion to accept the Oneida Airport Hotel Corporation strategic plan update as information.
So moved.
All right. Motion as made. Looking for a second.
Second.
Seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Abstention.
Abstained.
Motion carries. Noted abstentions. David Jordan. All right, that concludes our agenda. If you guys don't have anything else.
Motion to adjourn at 3 o'clock.
Motion by David to adjourn at 3 o'clock, and seconded by Ernie. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. All right, thank you.